I consider it a great privilege to be here tonight to be able to speak to you on a subject that I trust to be helpful to all of us. And I might mention to you that everybody in this audience is one of the first four stages. The natural state, the sinful state, or the fallen state, or the saved state. We'll talk about each of those again, and then eventually we'll either be in this part of the Hadean realm or this part, and eventually we'll be in heaven or hell. That's the states that we recognize we'll all be in. So let's think about it from this standpoint. In this, what we call the natural state, by birth we enter the natural state, right here. And now in this state, there are many people who say that we're born depraved. That is, we're born as wicked as we can be. And that we can't think a good thought, think a good deed, until the Holy Spirit operates upon us and changes our nature. But now consider what you think about from that standpoint. Notice the text that was read, right here, Acts 17:28-29. For in him we live and move in our being, as certain also of your own reports have said, we're also his offspring. For as much as in it we're the offspring of God, we ought not to think the Godhead is likened to gold or silver, stone, graven art, and man's divide. This verse says we're the offspring of God. The offspring partakes of a nature of his parents. Now, if we're born to pray, we got it from God, not from man. This, of course, then another thing, to keep this in mind. In Matthew 18, in verse 3, Jesus said, if you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, if little children are born depraved, that means we must be born depraved before we can enter the kingdom of heaven. No, little children are innocent. This is what we're talking about here. Then also in 2 Timothy 3 in verse 13, now notice, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Now when you're totally depraved, you're as bad as you can be. How can you get worse then? You can't. Because man is not born totally depraved. And that's why it is that when a man is born totally depraved, that's why most religious world teaches this. And also they teach that before you can do anything, the Holy Spirit must operate directly upon you and change your nature so you can do the things that God would have you to do. That's why the Holy Spirit has to come in to change the nature of man. That, of course, is true. So in this state, the state right here, the natural state, we're innocent. This, of course, is true. Then we can leave that state in two ways. We can leave it as a child, death of a child, and we'll enter into the Hadean realm. Or we can leave it by sin. In Romans 3:23, Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when we do that, we enter what we might call the sinful state. That is where we're separated from God by the sins that we do. So this is what we're talking about here. Now also, we can leave that state in two ways. We must hear the word of God, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and that way we'll enter the saved state. For example, look in Romans 10:14-17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then also in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. So we find in order to enter the saved state, we must hear, must believe, must repent, must confess. In Romans 10:10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then also we must be baptized. In Galatians 3:27, the Apostle Paul said, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Then on the day of Pentecost, when they cried out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now notice carefully. Repent. What does repentance mean? Repentance means a change of mind. It's brought about by godless sorrow, and it results in a change of life. That is, a person might change their mind, but it doesn't cause them to change their life. So, let me repeat. Repentance is a change of mind brought about by godless sorrow that results in change of life. And then, of course, we find also, after we repent, we're to be baptized. Acts 2:38 mentions that once again. Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The strange thing is that even though Peter said that in Acts 2:38 and a number of other verses, that many people, in fact, the religious world as a whole, says baptism has nothing to do with being saved. In other words, you can be saved without being baptized. Well, Peter didn't know that, because he told people to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And sometimes people say, well, the for there means because of. The word that's used there, the Greek word as, is translated several times in the New Testament, but it's never translated because of. It's translated in order to, or so that. And so when you talk about repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, we're talking about unto the order, that's what you do in order to have your sins remitted. So this authority is what we do in order to leave that state. So that's what we're talking about here. So when we do that, we enter what we might call the saved state. As we go with the gospel, we enter the saved state. And we notice we leave this two ways. We can die as a sinner, right here, or we can obey the gospel and enter the saved state. You see, a person is in this state, is in the kingdom of darkness. Then they can, if they die as a sinner, they leave this state. Well, notice the other state in which they enter at that point. Then also, notice this particular point, in Revelation 2:10, who has delivered us from the, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. And in Colossians 1:13, who had translated us into his son, into his kingdom. God's translated us into the kingdom. Then also another thing you find as you look at this, in Revelation 14:13, you can leave this away two ways. You can die as a Christian, or you can die as a backslider. Remember in Acts 8th chapter, Simon had obeyed the gospel. And when he saw that through the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He saw people performing miracles and so forth. He said, give me this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. He was wanting to know the power the apostles had in order to be able to lay hands on others and give them that power. And Peter said, thou sought the gift of God may be put in your money. Repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be given thee. In other words, here's a Christian told to repent and pray. Now, he had obeyed the gospel, but he's going back into what we call here the fallen state. See the state, the slave state, and then the fallen state. All right, now notice carefully. You can leave the state in two ways. In Acts 18, I read those verses just a moment ago, but notice in repent and pray. Acts 8:22, he told to repent and pray. In James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. So in order to leave the fallen state, you must repent, you must pray, you must confess your faults before God. So this, of course, is involved here. Now, when you do that, as I said a moment ago, you can leave the slave state in two ways. And that is as death as a Christian, and that this, of course, is the Hadean realm. Now, we are not entering that yet. But when we die, we enter the Hadean realm. This, of course, is two parts. Paradise, or Abraham's bosom, and Tartarus. Hades means the unseen. When applied to the state of the dead, it means the unseen state of the dead. So what we have when we die, we don't go directly to heaven or hell. We go to Hades. That is what we have in this particular case, the unseen state of the dead. And you remember the rich man in Lazarus, there's a great gulf separating those in the paradise and those in the other part of the Hadean realm. This, of course, is in Luke 16:23. Also, keep this in mind. Sometimes people have thought Jesus went to heaven the day he died. No, he didn't. Remember Luke 23:43, Jesus said, in this case, touch me not, I have not yet ascended to my Father. Mary Magdalene was trying to cling to him. He said, don't touch me. In that sense, I'm not yet ascended to my Father. Where was his Father? His Father was in heaven, 2 Corinthians 3. But he had gone somewhere. Well, of course, the point is he'd gone to Hades or paradise, Abraham's bosom. In Acts, the second chapter, when Paul was talking about what Christ did, he said, thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades. Talking about Christ, he was in Hades during the time his body was in the grave. And so as a result of that, we find that in this situation, when we die, we go to the Hadean realm. That is what we're talking about, sacred case. And then, of course, in the other part of it, Luke 16:23. Also, Abraham's bosom is no doubt referring to paradise. You remember Jesus said in Luke 23:43, when he made a statement on this occasion that the paradise, he said the paradise is a part of the Hadean realm. And it's, of course, what it's talking about is when we die, the righteous, we go to Hades. That is that part of the Hadean realm where there's no suffering. On the other hand, there's another part of the Hadean realm where there's suffering. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? They were in Hades. The rich man was suffering. Lazarus was not. And of course, the rich man, you're told, said, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. There's torment in Hades. But it's not hellfire. But I suggest that whatever that is, it's bad enough. You remember Revelation 20 verse 11? I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. Sea gave up the dead which were dead. And death and Hades delivered up the dead which were them. They were judged every man according to their works. And then, of course, he goes on to point out that whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this, of course, shows the part of the Hadean realm. Then, of course, then the part here, the paradise, we'll see that. But then notice, you're going to show the rest of it. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so this, of course, is talking about we'll appear before the judgment seat and feel there. And then I read Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And notice also that heaven is the Matthew 25:34. We find in this particular case, Jesus said and was emphasizing that he's going to come. He's going to set the sheep on the right hands and the goats on the left hand. Then he's going to say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you at the foundation world. I was hungry and gave me meat. I was thirsty and gave me drink. I was a stranger and took me in. I was naked and clothed me. I was sick and visited me. I was in prison and came into me. And the righteous say, Lord, when did we feed you? When did we clothe you? When did we go to you in prison? Now look, inasmuch as you did it on one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Brethren, that's a statement to me that is a really ultimate thing. The Lord says, how we treat one another is how we're treating the Lord. Inasmuch as you did it, whether it be good or bad, unto my brethren, you did it to me. So be careful how you treat Christians. Because the way we treat Christians, that's the way we're treating the Lord. And we don't want that to happen. Also, another thing to keep in mind when you look at this, when you look in this place over here, another part is hell. I'm sure Greg can do this well. In Mark 9:43-48, it mentions hell is not the Hadean realm, but it's when we leave the Hadean realm, we either go to that part of the Hadean realm where Abraham's bosom is, or we go from there to hell itself. So this is what we call the six states of man. And let me repeat, everybody in this audience tonight is in one of these states. Natural state. You're innocent in that state. All right? Or the sinful state. You can leave that state in two ways. You sin, enter the state. Or you obey the gospel, leave it. Or you can die as a sinner. Or you in the kingdom, you live in the saved state. You can leave that two ways. You can die as a Christian. Or you can die as a backslider like Simon the sorcerer did. And then, of course, we talked about these two and then heaven and hell. That's the six states of man. And we are, of course, in four of them right now. Somebody is in one of them and will eventually be in the others as well. Hope this has been helpful to you in the six states of man, and realize that if you're in the sinful state, you need to do what we learn you need to do to be saved. This, of course, is hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you're in the fallen state, that is, you've obeyed the gospel, but you've fallen back into the world, then you need to do what it said here. You need to come back and start all over again. Whatever your state is, if you need to obey the gospel, won't you come? While we stand and while we sing.